Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 433 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron. So thrilled that you're here with me today as I am talking to Jason Poole about getting unstuck. Jason is so awesome. He was on the show in episode 276. We were talking about, it was a little book club that he and I did. We were talking about Oliver Berkman's 4,000 Weeks, which we both freaked out and geeked out over. So if that is interesting to you, thinking about productivity and lifespans, go check out that episode. But this one, we are talking about getting unstuck. And I really think that Jason is he is a master at this, at discovering tools, inventing tools, making new ones, finding new ones, borrowing others, making them his. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous chat that we have. And again, thank you so much for being here as I am talking about the Kickstarter, which is 5 days away from closing. rachelherron.com/unstuck. If you have not supported and you would like to, I would love to have you along. Please go check out ebook, hardcover, audio, other fun, very cool things that are over there. But I'm not going to belabor the point today because I don't feel like it. I feel like I've done a lot of that lately. What I do want to belabor is the absolute joy it was to talk to Jason. So here comes this interview now. Please enjoy. Thank you for being here, everybody. I could not be more pleased to have my dear friend on the show today. Will you please share your name and pronouns with us?
Sure. My name is Jason Craig Poole, and I am he, him.
You have been on the show before. People should go check that out because we did a little book club over 4,000 weeks, but we're not here to talk about that. Let me give your bio, and then we're going to talk about getting unstuck. Jason Craig Poole is a prize-winning poet, teacher, and musician. His work has appeared in Patterson Literary Review, Brevity Blog, Molecule, and other publications. His story and music are featured in the documentary Sons of Halawa, which is amazing. When he's not climbing the monkey bars at the playground with his son, he's pursuing an MFA in writing in the poetry program at Pacific University. He lives with his family in New Jersey in a little house near the Big Hill. Now I know where to find you, so I'll be right over.
Now you know.
I know. Oh, so it's just such a delight to have you. I was telling you off air that this is just a really selfish thing that I'm doing, that I'm just asking people that I love and admire to talk about how they got unstuck. Could there be anything cooler? So as you know, this is, we're supporting rachelherron.com/unstuck, where the Kickstarter is the book for anyone joining here for the first time. The book is about me looking around my life and going, I've got everything I ever wanted. I got here and I don't want to be here anymore. And I felt very, very, very stuck. And I knew that it would have been very easy for me to stay where I was forever. And instead we sold everything we owned and moved around the world, left everyone we knew and loved and moved around the world. And we got unstuck. And the cool thing about that is that now I know how to get unstuck if it happens in the future, which it probably will. But what I'm doing is asking people like you to tell me about a time you looked down and you realized you were stuck. What happened?
I love your book. It is fabulous. And it's full of tools to help remind people of how to get unstuck.
Thank you.
I think I pretty much get stuck every time I do anything. And every time I think that I've learned how to get unstuck, I forget it. Even though I swear, now I know, and this will never happen again because I have a tool, I've written it down, and I'm good to go. This will never happen again. I will always know how to extricate myself from stuckness. And I always forget almost instantaneously, as all good epiphanies should be, right?
It's like serial monogamy with epiphanies and tools. Like,
yes.
Oh, this is the one. I am in love, Mom. I'm in love. This is it. And then 4 weeks later, I know this is it. Yeah.
Yes.
I have seen you get stuck and I have seen you find these tools and pull your way out. So, and I love that you know this about yourself. Tell us more, please.
So, right now I'm in a poetry program. And the wonderful thing about poems are that we generate a ton of them, and they're not usually as long as a novel, right? So, and I'm working with a mentor right now who would love us to produce incredible volumes of like incredible masses of poems, which means that I get to start a new poem all the time. And I think that every time I start, well, first I get this kind of feeling that I can't, like I'm standing at the edge of the diving board, and I'm afraid to take the step off. And for the longest time, I've said I'm scared, and I really do believe that I'm not as scared. I used to be a performer, and walking through the curtain or walking out from the wings onto the stage, it's that little flutter that happens, and you pray that that never goes away, because when that goes away, that means you shouldn't be on stage anymore. That means that you're too jaded to the whole thing. With writing, I think I miscategorized that feeling, that flutter. I would be like, you know what? I'm too scared. And I would clench up and say, that's it. I'm not going to go forward. As opposed to recognizing it and saying, I'm not scared. I'm actually excited. Because if you asked me, do you like to write? The answer is, I love to do it. So why was I saying that I was scared, right? And then the biggest tool for me that never fails, that always will work, is that I have to just start. I spent years in New York City as part of an improv company, and we toured. And it's improv, so it's live theater happening in front of, the audience for the very first time, the only time. We got a suggestion from the audience. We were a long form company, so we didn't do a series of short sketches. We did one show that lasted approximately 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
It was wonderful, but we had to generate our material and based on one word and all the different things that can happen with it, all the wonderful associative things that can happen with it. But it required us taking steps off of the back line and coming forward and beginning. And the more that I thought about it in preparation for talking with you today, I was thinking, it's if you look at visual artists, they say, I need to activate the canvas. I need to make a couple marks so that it's not just a blank canvas staring back at me. And oftentimes those initial marks disappear. And they disappear because it's relational. We put something down and then we respond to that. And it's not nothing that is static, right? Because stasis is anaerobic and it's death. So there's movement. And if I can just begin, here's the thing. In my head, I can say, I know how I want this poem to go. And then as soon as I start writing it, it falls apart. It becomes something else entirely. And then I get frustrated and think, well, I'm going to throw this away, or I knew I shouldn't have done this today. This is a sign from everything, sacred and holy, that says I should have just stayed in bed. But at the end of the day, the poem in my head wasn't a real poem. Even there, I'm making changes to it, and I'm revising it. It's a relational thing. So as I put the first words down on the page, and I respond to it, and I start to bend it and shape it, I'm not stuck in a preconceived notion. Instead, I'm discovering, and I don't want to write to actualize something. I'm looking forward to finding something new. So yeah, if I. One of my friends who's a painter, she'll say, like, you have to move your hands. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to sit down and say, okay, I got to get a couple words down. Once those first words are down, and it's different than when people say, you can't fix a blank page. I'm not looking to fix the blank page. I'm looking to play with the blank page. So I'm not looking to get something, I'm not looking to reach some ideal. I want to get in and discover and find something new and find language that makes my head spin a little bit. And I fall down every time. But every time that I fall down, I've got to get back up, And there are words on the page now, and maybe that triggers another association, or maybe it triggers an entirely new shape for the poem, or maybe I decide to write it backwards. To start from the end and go up to the top, or maybe I take scissors and I cut them all up and and play like David Bowie and William Burroughs and use the cut up method. And yeah, it's a game. And the whole thing is that you have to start. You have to be willing to come off the back line and begin an action and trust that you're going to be your own best friend. You're going to be there to support yourself and
Gorgeous
hopefully
is
get you through
that. And what I'm
it.
hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the second you take the action, the second you activate the page, which is a phrase that I activate the canvas is what you said, which is a phrase that I love, or the second that you put down those first words, you are now no longer stuck.
Right, because
As
you're moving.
you took a motion, and then to that motion, you can react and
Right.
think and put down the next word. And then you have something new to react to and think and decide about. Is activating the canvas, is this a phrase that people say, or is this a phrase that you say, or
It's something, so
sort of
I'm a total
artistic
word
term?
nerd, but
I know
I
you are.
don't if I hang out with writers who are in their heads all the time, it makes me a little itchy. So I turn to other arts in order to learn
Yes.
how to write. And the
Yeah.
painters and the collage artists, they're the ones that you can watch their or I they're my favorite to watch as they make their decisions because their decision making is visible. So I can watch
Ooh.
somebody, place something down and say, wow, now I'm going to take white and I'm going to cover half of that. I'm going to bring this color forward and knock this color back. And they talk about activating the canvas.
That's improv in a way, right? I mean,
100%,
it's exactly
yes.
the same thing. It's only going to go this way once. You can't use those same elements again. And when you extrapolate it to improv, that goes directly just to writing itself as you're playing. Now, this is a one-time thing, and of course we can revise it, whatever. But when these words come into our minds, it's a one-time thing. This is incredible that these ideas are coming to us, and we are not stuck while we're putting them down.
Exactly. And in improv, like if I go out and I pretend that I am, if I, let's say that I go out onto stage and I'm doing object work and I hold a steering wheel like I'm going to drive a car. Well, if the person who joins me on stage doesn't see that I'm driving a car and instead they place the scene in a boat and they talk about, that I'm driving this speedboat or that I'm, commander of a spaceship. It doesn't matter what my initial action was. Now they're
Right.
playing with me and it skews, it goes into a different environment. As an improv performer, that's really that's where the fun is because you can still go back to the game of a parent and child, going to a drive-in to pick up a meal, but it's now in outer space and you're going to a distant galaxy. And the truth of it is there, but you're playing in a new sandbox entirely. So it becomes the game.
And
And
it's really about embracing this, the game, the fun, and rejecting the perfectionism that so many of us cling to so tightly. And would you agree? I'm always just putting these things together, but the more perfectionistic I get, the more stuck I get. The more because I've decided that this is the way it has to be. And if it's not that way, then I can't move forward.
Exactly. And it's never going to be that way. So, because it's never going to be that way, you can't ever go forward. There's always going to be something, there's always going to be something that comes up, an itch that needs to be scratched. There's always going to be the thing that kind of veers off. No. When have you ever made plans that they go exactly as you'd envisioned
Not
them?
as
Never.
often as I would like. Yeah, no.
Never.
Never. Never, never. And the more I realize that, the more it allows me to relax and let go and realize that that's part of it. That's part of how this goes. That's part of this gig, is that I show up and see what happens. Improv, I gotta tell you, I think we've talked about this before. It scares the hell out of me. I get nervous going to improv, so therefore I will do improv some. I'll take an improv class someday. But I can just imagine my first night of when I'm out driving there, I will want to throw up. I will be so unhappy.
Everybody, when they do improv, they think, I'm going to steer the scene. I'm going to make it really clear that I am knitting a sweater for my grandmother.
Yes,
And
yes.
none of your other scene, your scene mates are going to know that's what you're doing. None of them. I was with the company for years and we were really good at giving subtle clues to each other and we knew each other's, basic modalities. So I would know that
Right.
my friend did this, that he was going to bring in this type of character, but it wasn't fun to play the character that he expected. It was way more fun to go in a different direction because the truth was still there, you know?
Yeah.
The word, I think, like, to remember, you have to start, and that any kind of motion is relational. Like something happens and then there's a reaction. There's an action and a
I
reaction.
love that.
And then you can, then it's okay. It's not static.
Oh, okay. To someone who is feeling stuck, what's one piece of advice that you would give them? I mean, I think you just gave us 100, but.
Take a breath and begin. Just start. Because you'll find it. And it may not be what you're looking for. It may
It
not be
probably
what you
won't be.
thought you wanted.
Yeah.
Right. But it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be what you need.
This is why I love talking to you, Jason.
Oh, I
Oh,
love talking with
that's
you.
perfect. All right. If we wanted to find out a little bit more about you, where would you send us?
Well, I take a lot of pictures. I'm on Instagram. I'm Aloha Dude NYC on Instagram. And I think that's how you can find me on Facebook too.
Perfect.
And then there'll be more stuff coming soon.
There will be. Thanks, Jason. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Rachel. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations on Unstuck. It's fabulous.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.